Lord of the Sabbath is the name of the title of the message. I'm going to read, continue in Mark. Mark 2, 23 through 27. On the Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered, "Have you not read that what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is unlawful for the priest to eat. He also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" Two little boys, the age of 8 and 10, were always getting into trouble. The boy's mother heard that a preacher in town had been successful in disciplining children. So he asked if he could speak to them. The preacher agreed, but asked to see them individually. The mother sent the 8-year-old in the morning, and the preacher is a huge man with a deep, booming voice. Set the young man down and ask him sternly, "Do you know where God is, son?" The boy's mouth dropped open, but he made no response. Sitting there wide-eyed with his mouth hanging open. So the preacher repeated the question in an even sterner voice, "Where is God?" Again, the boy made no attempt to answer. The preacher raised his voice even more and shook his finger in the boy's face and bellowed, "Where is God?" The boy screamed and bolted out of the room and ran directly to his home, dove into the closet, slamming the door behind him. When his older brother found him in the closet, he asked, "What happened?" The young boy, gasping for breath, replied, "We're in big trouble this time. God is missing, and they think we did it." Today, or tomorrow, is Memorial Weekend. We remember soldiers who have paid the ultimate price, their families, and this is the time in which we remember them. Memorial Day was first widely observed in May 1868. The celebration was commemorated the sacrifices of those in the Civil War. And after General Lee A. Logan proclamation, more than 20,000 graves of both Union and Confederate were decorated. In 1971, Memorial Day was declared a national holiday. Ronald Reagan is credited for reviving the practice of honoring Memorial Day and its meaning. In one of his speeches given at Arlington National Cemetery, he said these words, "Today is the day we put aside to remember the fallen heroes, to pray that no heroes will ever have to die for us again. It's a day of thanks for the valor of others, a day to remember the splendor of America and those of her children who rest in this cemetery and others. It's a day to be with families and remember." I think probably most of us would agree that we pray that no more heroes need to die for this nation. But sadly, we know this is not going to be the case, and it's not the case. As long as we have weaponized, as the world begins to still continue to weaponize ideas and systems of thought, we will probably have war. Leipzig, 16th and 17th century philosopher, said that God, in creating the world and the universe, created a world in which every possibility is possible. That he saw was the greatest good for humanity. Plato took these ideas a little bit further, or even before Leipzig, and wrote, anybody who knows anything about Plato knows the form and ideas in which he wrote, which regards all specific things as caused by, participating in, or a copy of universals, which alone are real. He believed that every thought that we have down here, everything that we have down here, is a copy of something up there in the heavens somewhere. That's why Plato always pointed up with his finger. The forms are an external patterns systematically interrelated. He would believe that all the forms, all our thoughts are interrelated. He says the demiurge, or God, this is what the article is writing, uses them to fashion particular things. And logically, it can be expected that they will all find manifestation in the created order. Otherwise, the world around us would lack fullness or perfection. He believed that sooner or later, all ideas would be realized. And that there was an inner dependence and an inner relationship with everything that is. All thoughts interrelate. Take the 7.5 billion people that are in the world and superimpose every idea possible, 17.5 million different ideas, into 17.5 million different people, and see if war will not break out. Every one of us are different. Every one of us. No one, two people are the same. The world have coalesced under different groups of ideas. We come together if we think the same or close to the same, or we have a constitution, we come under that. We call these governments. There's governments around the world that support different types of ideas and systems of thought. Some of them we don't agree with. Some of them are harmful to people. Look at the world around us. Is this not what is happening in the reading today? The struggle of two different ideas coming together? The Pharisees have made a whole bunch of different laws, and what was going on here, it was okay to pick a head of grain. I'll use the illustration of wheat. Some use corn. I don't know, various different translations. So you would pick a head of wheat. That was okay to do that. But the minute you took it in your hand, I don't know how many of you went in the wheat field already in your youth and took a head of wheat and thrashed it in your hand. Well, that's when the Pharisees said, no, you're harvesting. So that's what Jesus was doing wrong. It was okay to pick the head as long as you didn't take it in your hand and go and blow the chaff away. That was considering harvesting. You were thrashing the wheat, and that was illegal under the Jewish law. Jesus went on to talk about a story in the Old Testament about David who went into the holy sanctuary, and there was supposed to have been, I think, at one time it was 2 loaves, and some stories say there's 12. It was like a holy bread on a table. And they were starving to death, the story said, and they went and ate the bread. They did what they needed to do. And Jesus said that the Sabbath was made for us, not man for the Sabbath. I take that as meaning that it's not an eternal law. It was something given to us to help us rest. I think it is very important to rest. To have a time when you can stop. We live in a world today in which it runs 24/7. I can remember in Massachusetts when I first started trucking, they had the blue laws. You could not get off the Massachusetts Turnpike with a truck because that was on Sunday. You could travel through the state on the turnpike, but you could not get off. And that until recent years was still in effect. You couldn't deliver, you couldn't do any of that. Many of us remember a time when the stores were shut down. People closed. I think this economic engine that runs on and on all the time, somehow there's something wrong with that. It needs a rest. It needs a Sabbath rest. We do. Our machines do. We are machines, and our machines do too. It's time that we enjoy that. We need to get back to that, I think, in a little bit more than what we are. Walmart over here, who's open 24/7. Do they ever close? Maybe Christmas for a little bit?
One day.
Yeah.
A year.
Yeah. I think we need to get back to closing the store down. If you can't get it in a certain amount of hours, too bad. You wait till the following day. But that's not how we work. In my industry, in which I trucking, it's 24/7. People demand things and they expect it to be there. And they want it there. Don't matter if it's Sunday. Don't matter. As long as you got hours, you are expected to get it there. But isn't that what is happening here? A conflict of ideas? The old ways and the new ways were banging together. I watched the story yesterday. It was about the Armenian genocide. It was called The Intent to Destroy. It was a documentary. And it was a genocide against the Armenian people in the early 1900s. And they said, one of the phrases that they were, it was covered up and it was taught like it never happened. And they said that the second genocide is to deny that the genocide even happened. To kill an idea so you can't think it no more. Was there genocides in the Old Testament? Yes. There are stories. You can read them. I'm sure most of us are familiar with it. But I want to ask some questions. If we are not to murder, how is it that God can? Or at least the God of Israel did. Jesus, God's Son, tells us to love our neighbor, to turn the other cheek, to forgive as we are forgiven. If we are to live by these rules, can't I humbly ask, doesn't God have to live by these rules also? Does God need heroes? John Piper, who is an eisegesis or an exegesis person for the evangelical faith, I'm not sure if he reads into Scripture or takes out of Scripture. Sometimes I think he does both. He says this, God can do whatever he wants. Everything is in God's will and control. We are not God is not beholding to us at all. He doesn't owe us anything. I wonder, as I read that, I would like to ask John Piper, isn't this an irresponsible attitude for God to have? To create and say, I don't care? I believe that God is a God of love. And I try to understand the teachings of Christ. I see the Bible as starting here and continuing there. Not everything in the Bible is viable for us to do. It's a journey of what humanity has traveled on. People who go back to the old Ten Commandments and try to move them forward in a way, in a most literal way. Well, as Jesus says, if you break one of the laws, you broke them all. We can't keep them. It was supposed to be spiritually understood and applied. In our story today, the Pharisees literally interpreted the law and created a whole lot more. 613 plus. It's okay to be hungry, but you can't harvest a head of wheat to eat it. I find that ridiculous. The psalmist asks these questions. What is man that thou art mindful, or humanity, that you think of us? But he does. Jesus says, look at the sparrows, how they neither spin nor toil, but yet the Heavenly Father looks after them. I disagree with John Piper's idea altogether, all the way around. The Bible, as I said, is a story of humanity's struggle from this point to this point. Isaiah 2:4 talks about judging the nations. Are the ideas that we accept to be true, must we be accountable for them? Joel 3:10 talks about a time in which the spears will be turned into plowshares, and I think we know that scripture. Many are caught up in this apocalyptic end. I talked to people yesterday who believe in an apocalyptic end of the world. I think that's a gross misunderstanding of scripture. Why must the world end in war and calamity? I think, yes, the world must change. We must change the way we believe. I think the end of the age is talking about the end of the Jewish age and the beginning of grace, or the beginning of what Christ has taught. From school shootings to North Korea, the Middle East, even the United States and around the world, we only think in terms of guns. For some reason, that's how we seem to want to settle things, and have for many, many years. I think we should remember those who have fallen. I don't care if you supported the war or thought it was correct. We should support our young men and women who go to battle for an idea, even though we don't support the cause. We need to support them. They are supporting an idea in which we live under. We should support them, whether you are a Democrat or a Republican or an independent. We should support the families, for sure. They are individuals who are standing up for us. But I think we can expand the Memorial Day just a little bit further. What about the fire people who protect us, who go willingly into a fire to protect us, and who lose their lives? Policemen. How many of them are being killed daily? Do you agree with everything that happens there? No, I don't. But nevertheless, they are there to protect us. For right or wrong, we may not agree with what the situation is. I think teachers who stand to teach. One threw a basketball at one this week in order to distract a shooter to protect their students. Are not these war heroes? Each of us struggle each day. We stand in the gap somewhere. We support something. We resist something. Can't we include all of us in this Memorial Day, in this remembrance? Does the Bible support a Memorial Day of remembering? And the answer to that is yes. Joshua, who traveled across the Jordan River to enter into the Promised Land, the story says that they were supposed to take up 12 stones, one for each tribe, and they were the stones that the priests stood on while the water was divided. There's a story twice as the water was divided. And they were to bring them up and to put them on the bank, and that was supposed to be a memorial as they remembered for years to come. That when they looked upon them stones, that they were supposed to remember how God stood in the gap and they walked across to dry land. Exodus before that was about the Passover. It was to commemorate the going out from Egypt. They were to remember it and commemorate it each year for 7 days, I think it was. Jesus has taken that and changed it to a different type of memorial day or time. He called it the Last Supper. We call it the Last Supper, the Lord's table. It's to commemorate and to remember what Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, has done, who brought something different to this world, a new idea, a new way of living, a new way of thinking, something different. Jesus, to love our neighbor as ourselves, he said. Jesus did not come to give us justice. That is a word that I fight, even amongst some here, not literally fight, but I believe the word should be changed or should be added to, should be equality. Don't stop at justice. Justice is a seesaw. You need equality. I want to see equality for the races and for the sexes. Justice. What is justice? If a person, if a female gets less wages than a male counterpart and only really receives an equal pay, that's not justice. Justice would mean that that person should get all the back pay. That would be justice. Equality is where we want. We want forgiveness, grace, and mercy. I don't want God's justice. No way, no how. I want forgiveness, grace, and mercy. And I want that as equality for everyone. I want salvation for everyone. Not just for me. Not just for the ones that I know. I want it for all. It's a new way of thinking. Jesus in John 15:13. We'll start there. 12. He said, my new command is this. This is Jesus saying this. Love each other as I have loved you. No greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, he said, if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you, so that you might go and bear fruit that will last. So whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. How then can war exist? How then do we mash all these different ideas together in the name of love? How do we do that? That is a struggle and has been a struggle for many centuries. Will humanity ever learn? I don't know. I think that in a closing statement, we need to remember those who gave their lives so that we can live in this great country. It is a great country. For all its troubles and ills, it's still a great country. If you don't think so, look what's happening in Venezuela and various different places around the country. We don't have to worry about food. I mean, Colleen and I were dealing with retirement and some of the future issues and looking at revenues and what have you. Yeah, I will grant you, Colleen, I was a little depressed. It did spin me down a little bit. But maybe it humbled me a little bit also. But still, as you said, We have a lot to be thankful for. We do. We have a lot to be thankful for. We need to remember that there's also one, capital I's, referring to Jesus, that has given his life for every human being. Amen.
Our hearts and minds join together now to ask your blessing on these gifts.